This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone, and welcome back to the ASI weekly Q&A with Sheikh Akram Nadwi on every Thursday at 6 p.m. GMT. Before we begin, we have an exciting announcement to make. On the 5th of March and 12th of March, we will be hosting a new short course titled Tadabbur, In Pursuit of the Quran, which will aim to explore the meaning and methodology of contemplating the Quran ahead of Ramadan, which is, of course, the month of the Quran. This course, inshallah, will be delivered by none other than our esteemed Sheikh, Sheikh Akram Nadwi. Details are on the ASI website, but I'll post a link in the comments for sign up. Sheikh, would you mind giving a quick intro to the course before we begin the Q&A?
Okay, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You know, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, is the source of the guidance. And it is a really very deep book. It has no limits of the meanings and what is relevant to the guidance. Even if the many, many prophets and messengers, they spend all their lives to comprehend the Quran, they can't do. Like one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is so much depth in the Quran. We need to make more effort to find out more, even actually things which are created by Allah. Like, you know, a small finger. If all the people get together to know what finger is, they can't know. They only know something about the finger. Quran is not created. Quran is the word of Allah. It is one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how deep it is. But still we don't make effort to understand it, even simple meaning. But after we understand simple meaning, there are so much depth. And think that you stop and look and contemplate, it will make you so happy, and make your iman so strong and faith so strong. It provides you answer to all many, many questions that people have. But since we don't contemplate, don't do tadabbur, don't think, so very often to us, the Quran looks a very simple book. So anyway, inshallah, in this course, it will be just a small effort to remind myself and all of you that how we try to do tadabbur in the Quran, go deeply in the Quran, and how to basically look into all the relevant verses to get bigger picture, bigger meaning, inshallah ta'ala.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. And with that, we will begin. So the first question is in two cards. So Fariha says, I'm a housewife. After my kids go to school, I listen to Darse Hadith or Tafsir Quran videos or khutbas and lectures whilst doing household chores. Is it okay to listen, or does this act of mine violate the adab of listening to Tafsir Quran or Hadith, which is mandatory?
No, the best thing, no doubt, actually, is that people spend time to listen, to understand. Not everybody has enough time to do all those things. Anyway, even like say in Arabic language, mala yudraku kulluhu, if you can't get all of something, at least don't miss part of it. You need to do housework, you need to do things in the house. So if you delay your listening of the Quranic verses or Quranic classes, maybe you never do it. So in that case, if you, while doing all the work, you listen some of those things, inshallah, you will get something. Maybe you'd repeat it again and again, so maybe you understand more. But make your priority, I'll say that, prefer the Quran and Hadith more over speeches and khutbas, because these two things are source of the guidance. If you miss the khutbah and speeches, I don't think, you miss many things. But the Quran and Hadith, they are important. So prefer them over any other Islamic recordings.
JazakAllah khairan, Sheikh. The next question is, my cousin is in a coma. Our elder in the family advised 30 family members to fast for one day and pray for his recovery. Is this permissible or is this a bid'ah?
Thing is, there are no need really to do all that. Some people want to do I don't think it is bid'ah. Bid'ah only becomes bid'ah when people introduce something new in the religion, and then people start following it, and they think it has some reward. the people think it has a special reward, yeah, then it will be that. But if it's just somebody said, you know, nobody, people don't, some people follow, some people don't follow, it is not so important. But anyway, it is not the way how the Prophet ﷺ has done. The way is, you know, when somebody falls ill, you know, make effort, you know, for the medical treatment, you know, follow the right procedures, you know, in these matters, and also make dua, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you. And for the dua, you know, it is like you can make dua after the prayer or anywhere. People sit and, you know, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure someone and help. So Allah is the listener. You don't need all these things to do just for the sake of recovery or health of somebody. One sentence can be enough if Allah wants. Once Umar Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was giving a speech, and somebody came and says, there is so much drought, you know, there is no rain, and people need water desperately, so much drought. So he said, Umar Khattab said, Astaghfirullah, and then he continued. The people say, you don't do anything, just say it. He said, this is a word, it will like bring the rain pouring everywhere. Because the Quran says, if you ask Allah to forgive you, then he will listen to you and bring everything. So people just do istighfar and ask Allah to help. He will help. He listens. It seems that Allah does not listen to the people. So you have to do all these tricks, 30 days fasting and this thing. That thing. You know, Allah listens. You know, when you ask me something, do you fast 30 days? You ask me this question and I answer you the question. Allah listens to people quicker than my answer. Just I'll tell you. I never ask you, did you fast? Did you give me any gift or hadiyah or fast or something? Did you bring for me something? Or did you make dua for me? I don't ask anything. You just ask me a question, I answered you. Allah is quicker than that, much, much better than that. You know, I can delay. I cannot know right answer. You know, I can become angry and annoyed. But Allah is never like that. I don't understand why people think that to make Allah to listen, you need to do all these tricks. Allah is already listening. His doors are open. You know, just you need to ask him. People don't ask him. So I don't think that the prophets and messengers, they never made anything like that. Read all the du'as in the Quran. None of them have got all these things. Very simple sentence. Whenever they want to ask, they ask in one or two sentences. That's all. All du'as are like that. Very quickly they ask without making anything else. So that's what we need to do. Just ask Allah. He's there.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question says, Salam Sheikh, can you elaborate on al-zilzal in the Quran, whether it refers to our current situations such as earthquakes and other natural disasters, or is it what will happen at the end of the world?
You know, the Quran says in Surah Zilzal, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. So that is, you know, about the day, you know, last day, final day, when all the earth will be moving, shaken, and it is something different. You know, there's nothing on that scale ever can happen. The whole earth will be like that. Actually, the whole earth will finish. It will be new earth, you know, new sun, new moon. Quran says, you know, the sky and the earth all will be changed, replaced by something else. So people cannot imagine really. This earthquake that happened in our time, it is just a small reminder about the real thing. That people should start, because people live in peace and they forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they forget that they are under His kingdom. So sometimes he keeps reminding that don't take things for granted. Like we people live in the West, you know, food is there and everything is there. Still we are not happy. You know, ask the men, they complain about their wives. Ask the women, they complain about their husbands. Nobody is happy. They don't understand really. Whatever Allah has given them, you know, people in the world don't help them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take these things and things can become worse. It's all a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Learn how to thank. So in our time, all the disaster and all this earthquake, whatever happening is just a small reminder. But what is the day of judgment? It is really something unimaginable. You know, it is nobody can actually understand how big it will be. You know, the people's brain will be boiling, you know, in the head. And, you know, it really is when the mothers will run away from their children and they forget their babies, and at the moment, at least there are still people taking care of everybody. In that time, nobody will take care of anybody. Everybody will be running from other. And that nobody can understand. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and to save us, you know, from the hardship of the day of judgment and the hardship of the grave and all those things.
Ameen. Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question by Fatiha says, Salam, Ya Sheikh. How intense is the relationship between the signs of the of Qiyamah with the reality of our forgetfulness, as mentioned in verse 1, Surah Al-Anbiya, especially when Allah highlights the word Hisab? Can good believers be in the category of forgetful people as well?
You know, the thing is really, people, you know, all the time, wherever they get a good thing, they forget everything. They become arrogant, they become proud, you know, they're so happy. Like, you know, people get a position, somebody becomes a minister, somebody gets chairman of something, somebody becomes a director. Even some people get small posts, they become so happy, they dance, they celebrate, they forget the reality of this world. And same people, when they get a problem, they lose all the hope. So the way of the believers is, you know, to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to understand every, you know, good is from Him, you know, is His favor. We have to thank Him, and every evil that comes also from Him to test us, to remind us, to return to Him and ask Him to forgive us. So people always remember Him in good condition and bad conditions. But when people forget Him, when good conditions come, they become arrogant. When bad conditions come, they lose hope. They don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So certainly, you know, Qiyamah is coming anyway, and Hisab and judgment, day of judgment will come. And with forgetfulness, nobody can get you know, any success in the in day of judgment. The Quran says, "Iqtaraba lin-nas hisabuhum wa hum fi ghaflatin." You know, the meaning is judgment is coming, day of judgment is coming, and people are still in ghafla. They don't remember. The reason we don't remember is because we don't think. You know, whatever any condition happen, we take it for granted. We just live in the present. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made human being for the future. Always don't be satisfied with the present. Always think really what is happening in the future. And far future is more important because that is the real. They're going to clever people, wise people, they don't become happy what they see in the present. They always think what is going to come next, what is the consequences, what will happen, and especially after the death. So that's what we should remember all the time. Never celebrate what is the present, because it will very quickly becomes past. The real thing is what in the future.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh, for that very timely reminder. The next question is by Imran, who has asked, Sheikh, what is the difference between these two ayahs, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ and وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيَكُمْ.
You know, everything in this world actually happening is with the will of Allah, with His command. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made causes in this world. So sometimes He relates things to Himself directly, and sometimes He relates to the those causes. So for example, you know, like people have, you know, some people become guided because the messenger. So Allah will say that a messenger has guided them. But Allah sometimes will say, no, I guide. You know, sometimes He makes. Similarly, all the problems that happen in the world, they happen with the command of Allah, with the will of Allah. If Allah does not will, nothing will happen. But also Allah, when Allah wills, Allah wills when people actually don't obey Him. So if people, you know, don't listen to Him and don't follow His commands, yeah, then the problem will come. The consequences of their action, like, you know, for example, if people don't care about eating and drinking, so they can see the consequences. You know, people put on the weight, people ruin their health. It is because of what they have done, and also it is from Allah. Because Allah is the one who wills, Allah is the one who put all the power in these causes. The causes are ruled by Him, governed by Him. So you can say, like, you know, sometimes you say, you know, the Shah Jahan has built Taj Mahal. And sometimes you say that, you know, his workers, engineers, they built Taj Mahal. You can relate anything. Somebody, a trustee of the mosque, will say, we built this mosque. Sometimes people who work in the mosque, they say, we built. But it's all causes. You can relate things to any cause. The real cause is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the people's action. So if people do bad, then his judgment will be bad for the people. So we have to be careful. It is not that, you know, if people listen to Him, He'll punish him. No, He'll. But still, some problem will come because He wants to test people. So also keep in mind that even the messengers and prophets, they get difficulty in their life for testing purpose. So Allah wants to test. Sometimes He initiate a problem to test the people. But most of the time, the problems are coming because what people have done, because it consequences of their own actions.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Shahriyar, who asks, what should I do after my dua has been answered? I feel like I am unable to express my gratitude or I am not grateful enough.
No, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't, nobody can reward Allah. So, you know, you ask something very precious, you know, and then he gave you. It is his gift. Thank him and then move on, then decide not to disobey him. Always remember him. Don't become too arrogant. Don't become too happy. You know, you can't reward him, but you thank him. So thank him and then decide to, you know, to do good and to obey him all the time. And also ask him more, because his treasures are all the time there. If he gave you something, ask more. Ask more than that. It is endless. You know, it is people. When you ask, if you ask me 1,000 pounds, if I give you, next time you ask me, I'll mind it. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep asking him. He loves that, because he just creates things. So, you know, he gave you, ask him more and thank him and then obey him. Don't try to disobey. Think really that if everything comes to me from Allah, why should I disobey him?
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. Maryam asks, who's asking on behalf of her sister, she heard that if haq mahr is written in the nikah as mu'ajjal, I think that's mu'ajjal, i.e. to be paid immediately, and if it is not paid within 6 months, the nikah becomes invalid. Is this true?
You know, the thing is that people actually should pay mahr, you know, as soon as possible. And if it is written that, you know, there are two words, mu'ajjal with ayn, that means immediately. And there's a mu'ajjal with hamza, which means late. So I don't know which one they wrote. If they wrote mu'ajjal with ayn, that means it should be paid as soon as possible. So the husband should fulfill the promise and he pays. But if he delays, it is very bad and breaking the promise. He will be sinful, but the nikah will be valid. Nikah will not be broken by deferring the payment of the mahar. Even actually, if there is no mahar mentioned, still the nikah will be valid. There is no problem. It does not affect the marriage, but it is very bad for the husband. You know, if he has promised something, he should fulfill the promise. Anyway, you can convey to your sister that your husband has a full, you know, obligation to pay you as soon as possible. But still, if he does not pay, your marriage is fine, though he will be sinful.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Riyaz, who says, Salam, Sheikh, how should we look at the earthquake in Turkey? As a test or a punishment?
You know, I don't really think you need to know go deeper, because Allah can use the same thing for two different purposes. So how Allah does it? Just remember, really, it is punishment for us because we are so sinful, and also remember that it is test. Allah wants to see that do we turn to Him or not. So both coming together, I don't understand there is any contradiction, really. Like, you know, sometimes I fall ill, so I can think, you know, it has come because I, you know, don't listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But also I know it is test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I should turn Him and ask Him. So I don't really think there is any contradiction in between both things. You know, same thing can be, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes He brings rain. And the same rain could be good for some people, but could be bad for some people, could be testing for both of them. You know, from same thing can do so many things. So always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Him to forgive you, so you pass the test. And also if it is punishment, He already has forgiven your sin. So when you turn to Him, sins are forgiven, the punishment is gone, and also you pass the test. So do always ask Allah to forgive you.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. Sister Zakia asks from Bangladesh. She says, here some scholars have given the fatwa that studying in co-educational institutes, I think she means mixed institutes, is prohibited since there is no segregation between men and women. Is this correct?
You know, I've written an article on this matter. You know, mixed education or whatever people say, together. So that has got full argument. If Khadir, you can find the article and forward to the sister, so she can show it to people. But simple matter actually is a short answer is no. You know, in Islam actually education is very important, and it's people if they are in mixed education, it is actually a public space where they can sit together, and if they want to be safe, if they're safe, nobody can harm them. In this world, men and women both go for shopping, both go to the banks. Both do so. Both travel in the aeroplane. Both, you know, travel on the buses, on the trains, and both go for the Hajj. where they mix to each other in Arafah, in Muzdalifah, even in Tawaf, so much misgathering, it's all allowed. So when people are in the public space, they learn how to behave. So when women come to public space, don't put on very striking perfume which can attract the people. Don't make your dress striking or attracting. You know, put on a humble jilbab and then learn. Then, you know, I don't allow people to stop their study because it makes education. No, you should be strong enough and protect yourself. You know, if people are not strong enough, even at home, they can be evil, they can be bad. So simple answer is no, you should continue your education. And it is nothing actually, actually it is Islamic to continue education. If women don't learn how it is one of the important step towards empowerment. People always call it empowerment and this and that. If you want to have empowerment, the best thing is study and get education. So if you want a detailed answer, then find out from Khadir my article about miseducation.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. I will send the article in the comments, inshallah. The next question is, my question is, can we repeat one specific name of Allah if we want to make a specific dua? Like not a set number of times, but repeat many times the same name. Is this allowed?
You know, Allah's name is all barakah. You know, you repeat, you get reward. If you say Ya Rahman, you know, you say a million times, you get such a big reward. Certainly, you can repeat as many times as you like. This is one of the best zikr. You know, the zikr is the best zikr is Quran, the prayer, salah, then the Quran, then all the names of Allah. Make sentences, La ilaha illallah. You say Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Latif, Ya, you know, something like that. Ya Ghaffar, Ya Ghafoor, Ya Rahman, Irhamni, Ya Ghaffar, Ya Ghafirli, something like that. Full sentences. Yeah, it is a big thing. It doesn't harm you. Say as many numbers you want. You get so much reward and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill your need. So there's no harm. Actually, it is a good thing to repeat Allah's name all the time.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. Next question is by Ali, who says, Salam, Sheikh, what is the best way to avoid negativity?
You know, the thing is, people always look, you know, what they don't have and what the fault with other people. Just look at yourself, really, that what Allah has given me, you know, more than enough, really, and think that people may be much better than me. I don't know them. So whenever people do something, don't look, bad towards them. And about yourself, don't be too arrogant. And just think everything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can take any time. So just trust in Him and move on. You know, when people don't have Allah, then how these things become effective. But if you trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He's the one who brings night from the day and day from the night. Light from darkness, darkness from the light. He can do anything. You know, death from the life, life from the death. So similarly, you know, whatever conditions we have got, don't lose hope anytime. Always ask Allah. He will help. But all the time being negative actually makes yourself in darkness. That's what Shaitan wants. To open your mind, you know, be hopeful and think really with Allah, you are never alone. And without Allah, you are never actually in power or in good condition. When Allah is with you, then don't worry. Don't care about anything.
Sheikh, I have a question that has come from, not from the platform, but separately. And the question is that there's a woman who's trying to escape an abusive marriage and the Sharia courts and the shayukh are not giving her the permission to do fasakh of her marriage. She is asking, who is qualified to give fasakh or, allow khula from her husband, and what should she do in this situation?
You know, if she lives in a country, wherever she is, I don't know where she is from. Is she from this country or from somewhere
else? Yes, from the UK.
Yeah, the best people are always asking the women. I said to them, you know, you just need to go to the court of the country. Because, you know, even if a mufti or faqih or sharia court, they give a judgment, they don't have power to enforce anything. You go to the court of the country, they have all the abilities to understand, you understand your condition, to find out the fact. And then after that, whatever they pass, they're going to implement it. They're going to enforce it. They have the power. So judgment is always, people should always go to the court of the country, not to any other court. Because these courts are like just people's own fatwa, advice. They're not more than that. They don't have any power. So if, for example, even Sharia courts makes a rule against your husband, if he does not want to listen, you know, the court cannot do anything. But if you go to the court of the country, proper court, then they will enforce it. Then he never can disobey. So I always advise the women that whenever you have problem and dispute and you want to get separation, the best thing is go to the court of the country.
So on a linked note, Sheikh, is a divorce in a secular court the equivalent to Islamic, you know, ruling on khula? Like, is it still valid?
Yeah, because once the judge makes separation, it enforced. It finished. It's like one divorce. You know, just don't understand. For example, you know, if somebody takes my land by force, I go to the court. Whatever the court will judge, that will happen. Then the whoever got the land, they can sell it, they can do whatever they like. That's how the courts are. Everybody go to the court. I don't understand really why women think they cannot go to the court of the country. When the men go in India, all these ulama in Deoband, Saharanpur, all the madrasas, when they have disputes, where do they go? Do they go to the court of the country, in a Muslim court? You know, Deoband has two groups fighting. Both went to the Indian court and then they got split. Madahir Loom, such a big madrasa, they went to the Indian court. Everybody go to the court of the country. So I don't understand why women cannot go. If women don't go to the court, they never can solve the problem. So the best thing is go to the court and you will see what will happen. Your husband will come and will make a peace and listen to you because he knows really going to the court is a serious matter. The best thing is go to the court of the country.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Muhammad, who says, I recite Ayatul Kursi before going to sleep as well as Suratul Nas. Still, I get horrific nightmares. What should I do?
You know, thing is, when you do all the prayers properly and when you sleep, do wudu, and, you know, inshallah, after a while, it will be helpful, nice, inshallah. You know, you need to change your lifestyle. Maybe, you know, if people see so many movies or so many dramas and all those things and live with the wrong people, sometimes these things can happen. But if you're a pious person, you know, attend the prayers and then, you know, do wudu when you go to the prayer and ask Allah to help you, inshallah, these things will be cured very quickly. It doesn't take much time, really. It will be very, very quickly. But yeah, just you need to be very, very pure. Your body should be pure. Your heart, mind should be pure. Inshallah, the result will come.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Farah, who asks, if you don't get up for the Tahajjud, is that a reflection of Allah's opinion of you? Does he not invite you?
No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always want to test people. If it is so simple, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also missed his prayers. You know, not only him, all his companions with him, they missed the Fajr prayer, which actually worse than missing Tahajjud, because for the Fajr prayer is fard. But they missed it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testing many, many ways. The way is that if you do not have fault and somehow you remain asleep, don't worry, ask Allah to forgive you and do qada. So then next time you'll get up. It will not happen every day. You know, you're missing this one night. Don't judge so quickly. It all Allah testing you in different ways. So make effort to wake up. If you don't wake up, then make istighfar, do qada. Next time you'll get up, inshallah. Make your alarm, you know, strong. So ask someone to help you to wake up. This thing happened. But don't think that since just you did not wake up once, Allah is angry with you. It's not like that. Allah wants to test you that what you're going to do. You know, are you going to leave me? Or are you going to come back to me?
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. And a final question for the evening we'll ask. It says, Doctor, Assalamu alaikum. This Dr. Shahnaz in India, the ex-Muslim movement is spreading like cancer. So what are the books that will help understand the Quran to counter the ex-Muslim movement? Please suggest a few more articles if possible.
You know, thing is, the right or wrong, they always are in conflict. So Muslims should not just sit, you know, peacefully, there is nothing happening. So people who are misguiding, they are, you know, working hard, shaitan is working very hard. So the way is, that we should be pious. First thing, our own piety. People should see really that Muslims who are pious, how different they are, how different their life is. And also guiding people through the Quran. Don't make any judgment. Don't say you are kafir or mushrik. Nothing like that, you know. Always be nice to the people, kind to the people. You know, invite them to your houses. Give them food and be helpful. So inshallah, soon they'll become. But never pass judgment that you are kafir. Even somebody leaves Islam, you still say, no, don't worry, you are a born Muslim, and you know, maybe you found Islam very difficult. But there are hadith of the Prophet said, whoever says La ilaha illallah, they will enter to paradise. If you can't pray and fast, at least say La ilaha illallah. Same something, make Islam very simple and very easy and be friendly. But never hate any people, never make any ruling against them. Always be friendly with the people. In your friendship with them, that will make them to come back again, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh, for your time, and jazakallahu khairan, everyone, for joining. And we'll be back same time next week, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.